Hey everyone, it's Scott Ferrioli from DVC-Rental and Buy and Sell DVC. We just want to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stacey Nyman. Stacey, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks.
Wonderful. And we're joined by our good friend, Amy Van Swol. Amy, it's good to see you again. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you guys, too.
Excellent. We've got a good show today. We've got a tip show today. But before we get into the show, seeing you girls this close to Christmas makes me happy, even though we would literally have just seen each other yesterday, but that's okay. Never mind. What's good in your life? Share. Stacey, what do you got?
Okay. So by the time this show airs, I will have probably just a couple of more short long runs before Dopey. So not including like the kind of weekday runs, but, I will have finished the last super long run. And then I think there's just like a 6 and a 7 miler to go. So by the time this airs, I will be a very happy person to be almost there.
So I'm perplexed that we're happy to be done with this.
Yes. I've said recently that I just don't enjoy that marathon distance. And that's what Dopey training is for that marathon distance plus all the other ones. So I don't like it. And I am my run yesterday, I was not feeling, I did not want to do it. Like, so at this point in the training, it's just kind of begrudgingly getting things done just so you cannot feel horrible after the races. Like, I think I have all my endurance is good. My fitness level is good. I'll be fine. But now it's like, just keep it up so that you don't want to die once you're done. It's just feeling good afterwards. So
this is not a good marketing program for running, Stacey.
I know. Like anything over 10 miles just is doesn't feel good. So
yeah, I agree.
I'm ready to be just doing what I need to now so that I can enjoy the time that weekend and not be limping around. So
exactly. Amy, what do you got good in your life?
Well, by the time this airs, hopefully I'll have just seen you guys the day before. Mm-hmm. And the boys will be home. So I'm super excited about that.
Nice. So I want to ask, this is the first year your boys have been away. And I'm asking for all the parents that have kids going to college very soon. When it first happened, I know there was an initial change, but at this point, do you feel like you're like, okay, now we have to re-accommodate them to bring them back? Or like, will your life be upheaval for 3 weeks because you've now gotten into a really nice routine? Or like, is it with like, no, I'm just super excited. We don't care what happens. Cause I could easily see how it'd be like, this is okay. We're doing pretty good without you guys.
Exactly. Yeah, I love having them home, love them to pieces, but there's definitely some accommodating and like, yeah, I don't miss that
right.
when they're gone. So
exactly. Like, cause for them, when they're coming back and nothing has changed to them, right. They're just jumping right back into how their life has always been at home. But for the rest of the family, you have made major adjustments. And so them coming back can be a very major adjustment, but at the same time, it's exciting and it's, you know, full of joy. So there's just, it's a good mixture.
Even small things like where you sit at the table, mm-hmm. and how you shop for food and how you shop for
the amount of laundry there now, right? is, and the little extra messes just kind of left around the house. And, you know, it's just different. So, yes.
Well, I try to remember, even with my kids not being in that spot, but very soon, like, I know our time is fleeting, because I know eventually they'll get to the senior year of that and then the internships and the apartments. So, you know, life is changing rapidly for us. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of trying to stay on board with it the best you possibly can.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Ready for our Disney show today? I've got a good lead into this. And here's my lead in. We had a Christmas party yesterday. And as part of the Christmas party, we listen to Christmas music. We put Disney movies on, Christmas movies on. One of everyone's favorite is Home Alone. Do you guys like Home Alone? It's a classic,
yes,
right?
It's
hard to go through the season without watching it a few times. And I often think to myself, like, how could the McAllister family fall for those same tricks every time, right? Like there's got to be a checklist. There's got to be like lists and ways for people to prevent going to the airport without one of your kids, you know, but like, it's like a comedy of errors that get to that point. But you realize in every vacation, like, okay, I the trees don't fall and the power doesn't go out and the neighbor doesn't come over and count the neighbor kid as one of your kids. I realize that. But like, there's got to be a way to account for all these things that you need to do that actually doesn't involve the trip. You know, do you cancel the paper? Do you hold the mail service? And like, I figured this is a really good practical travel tip show. Mm-hmm. So we've assembled tips here. Stacy has, Amy has, Chris is just a big talking head, and I'm going to walk through it, of things to consider before you even start packing item number one in preparation for your trip to anywhere, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, the Grand Canyon, Hawaii, anywhere. These are things that we need to go and think about before we start taking that trip.
Absolutely.
Fair to say, ladies?
Yep.
Okay. So you girls have a list. Let's just start off with number one, Amy, and we'll go down, like maybe do a couple each and we'll go back and forth. Does that sound good?
Okay. Perfect. I kind of did mine like a timeline.
Okay.
So about a year out, obviously, that's when you start doing the research into your vacation, making the reservations, start looking, you know, looking for reviews on different places that you might be going, what's the best, and narrow it down to your specification. Make the initial reservation at a year out, if possible.
Okay.
So 9 months to a year, if possible.
Is that a reservation you would make and then you were absolutely positively certain you could cancel that reservation? Are you buying trip insurance at this point or how does that work?
It depends on the trip.
Okay.
You know, if it's just a hotel, I'd like to be able to cancel it. Absolutely. But if I'm planning, say, a trip on a cruise, I'm getting that trip insurance.
All right, Amy, is there anything else to consider from the 1 year point to like say 8 months, 6 months? Is there anything else to consider in that time period? Because we're pretty far out from our trip still.
Right. And one way I love to build up excitement for the trip is to research. Research exact things I want to do. Ask for people's opinions. Buy books. And scour the internet for things I want to do. Places I want to dine. It's mainly the research time. And that way it helps build up excitement for the trip as well.
See, I'm glad I got you girls on, because if that's me, that's literally happening on the plane ride to the destination. that's where I'm doing my research. I'm like, where should I eat today? Okay. Like,
wait, where are we going again?
Where's this plane going to land? I just got to know these things. Well, I want to say at this point too, even before you starting your research, if you can already see this is going to be beyond your scope of possibility, this is where you're going to want to enlist in a professional. You're going to want to go and get yourself a travel agent to work for you. And I know that there are a lot of capable travel agents in our listener group and in our friend group, but this is a good place for you to realize that and know what you're capable of doing and know what's beyond you.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of planning that's going to need to take place to make sure this trip coming up is going to be successful. So really about 9 months or 8 months is a good spot for you to consider that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
They've done the research for you. So that definitely will help and save you time.
Stacey, what do you have around the 6 months mark?
So I don't really have anything around the 6 month mark, but around like the 3 month out mark, or maybe even a little bit sooner. My kids, especially when my older three were little, loved to make a countdown. And so we've done so many different things. We did the whole like paper chain thing throughout the house. We had this thing where we made 100 clothespins and put a little Mickey Mouse head on each clothespin and made a wreath out of them and took one off each day. That was like a Pinterest idea that I found. And it ended up being so heavy that it just like didn't, it wasn't great. But had it been maybe a 30-day countdown, it might have been a little bit more manageable. But and we've done, you know, like stickers and all sorts of things. But that, especially if you have young kids, is a really, really fun way to give them a visual on how far away the trip is, because to some, you know, at certain ages, they think everything is tomorrow. When is it going to be? Is it going to be tomorrow? And this kind of builds the excitement. Obviously, for you have to gauge your child, because a 100-day countdown is probably not best for every child. My kids, it was fine with. Like they loved that. Like they would have started a year out if we could have. But you know, maybe 10 days for real young kids or something. But and it gives a fun activity for the family to do together as well. So, I mean, if you're doing a 100-day countdown, mom or dad is probably doing most of it. But
exactly. Check Shop Disney too. They market that now, right? And even on Etsy, people will sell those things, that cubes that go over and whatnot.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Another good thing between the 6 and 3 months is to book your airfare. Sometimes 9, depending if you are going to go during a holiday season, get that airfare as soon as it drops. I know with Southwest, if you're going over a holiday, you want to grab it as soon as you can. But, you know, if you're waiting for summer rates, sometimes I book it, you know, 6 months out or whatever, but then about 3 months, they have their sales and you can rebook it and get flight credit then.
That's a great point about the holidays too, is it's not going to get cheaper around the holiday time. The moment they release it is this cheapest it's going to get. But you're exactly right. On February 3rd, that rate can fluctuate dramatically. But when you're booking airfare, I just came across this myself, is to make sure you're booking the airfare that can be canceled or adjustable. Some of those airfares, as soon as you lock them in, that is it. Like there's no movement. There's no cancellations. There's no adjustments. And you've bought that. You bought it, you know, whether you make the trip or not. So be sure you know what you're doing right there. But good point about the holidays. What's next? So we got our airfare. We got our itinerary, right? We bought our folders guide for, you know, the vacation destination. We've got our countdown. What's next?
So for a driver, you might want to start planning your routes that you might take to your destination, including booking hotels if need be going down. That has been our number one probably mistake that we've made over and over and over again, is we don't know how far we're going to want to drive when we leave our house. And so we wait to get a hotel. And at certain times of year, real easy. You just stop wherever you want and you get a hotel. During summer months, a lot of times these towns are having tournaments, softball tournaments, baseball tournaments, all sorts of things happening. You might not get a hotel. I don't know how many times we've driven from town to town, putting sometimes an extra hour and a half to 2 hours when we're tired, wanting to stop trying to get that. So it's a good idea to really give some thought to that. Plan when you're going to leave so you can at least get a hotel if you are traveling during a higher traffic month for vacations. And also, your route in general, maybe plan. I mean, we're way past the days where we have to print out the map quests and have them all ready, but, you know, there's always things that can happen, and just having, you know, knowing about the alternative routes is at least helpful. So.
'Cause there's nothing like cohesion as a marital unit when you're driving 12 hours in a car and then having to argue about which hotel you're going to stay at.
There's
nothing that brings the love out any faster than that, right?
And Scott is always like, I don't know, do you think that this room looks better or this room? I'm like, we are going to be there for 5 hours. Yeah. As long as it's clean and doesn't smell, I don't care what it looks like. Just pick one.
Let me ask you both. Is that your number one parameter when staying at a hotel? I know it should be obvious that, like, okay, first off, let's say this. It should be safe. Safety is number mm-hmm. one, without a shadow of a doubt. Everything else is completely secondary or third. But what do you look for most? Is it room size? Is it price? For me, it's the breakfast. Like, does my family get to have breakfast in there? I know the room should be clean in theory, right? It should be clean. Can I go on the cheap and make sure everyone fills their belly in the morning for $119 and get a night's sleep and go to the bathroom, you know?
The funny thing about that is that used to be our big thing was the breakfast. And since COVID, we have, like, that has not even been really a consideration for us. Mm. And not now. It's not because of safety and sanitation. It's just because we've gotten used to not taking the time to stop for breakfast in the morning. Like, we've realized how much time we save by not having everybody go and get stuff and do all that. We just go and just grab something. We usually find, like, a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks and just grab something on the go and spend a lot of money doing that. But we save a lot of time, we've realized. Yeah. But for us, it depends. If it's just Scott and I, my number one thing is, like, let's get it for the cleanest, the best reviews, I guess it would be, and the cheapest that we can get. When we have a family of six going, you have to first look at what's going to accommodate the size of our family. And that those places usually end up being the higher end places anyway. So everything all kinds of falls into place. It's pricey, but it fits us all. And it's usually a nice hotel. So that's what we look for.
Amy, what do you look for?
Cleanliness. That's a big one for me. I cannot stand it when it is not nice. I mean, even a hair in the bathtub, but I know it's hard, but I know that people have stayed in that room before me, but I don't like to think about it.
Exactly. Yes. Do you do the deep breath smell too when you walk in the room? Like, does it smell like a hotel or does it smell like smoke? What does it smell like?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Same.
See, isn't this wonderful? We get all these opinions. Someone could relate to something that we're saying to people.
Right.
When we stayed at our first hotel, I don't want to say post-COVID because it makes it minimize it. But let's say post-COVID of travel. We were like, we know we're going to stay here. It's quality and whatever it was. It was reasonable. It was like a 4.0 out of 5. And I was like, do they have a continental breakfast? And I'm like the uncle in Home Alone. I'm the one taking, like, Fruit Loops and putting them in a cup.
Oh my gosh, I know.
You know, we're taking it from on the road. The Maloks are pirates. But anyways, so yeah. We're accepting and hoping it's going to be clean, right? That's a given too. Yeah. But you're right though, Amy. I have stayed at some hotels where, like, you walk in and be like, holy, this is awful. This is terrible. You know? So, okay. Very good. What happens then between, like, the 4 and 2 month mark? What do you guys have?
Well, I set up a house sitter, make sure that they're available. And, you know, even if it's not somebody who's actually sitting in the house, somebody who can at least check it, gather any packages that might get delivered, you know, inform them of our trip, somebody who would matter, who would be by our house enough. That's number one. And also set up whoever's going to watch the dog.
Very good. The watch the dog is important, especially around the holiday time. I just want to chime in. If you're going at Christmas, spring break, and you need to take your dog to a doggy daycare, not necessarily a person or a house, that reservation books out. As far as you book your airfare, you book that doggy daycare because they only have a certain number of spaces and rooms. And I mean, if that dog's not going to get watched, if you're a Malik family, you're not going on vacation. I got three, you know, who's volunteering to watch three? You know, nobody. So you got to book that early as well, too. Stace, what do you have 2 to 4 months?
So just kind of a lot of the same stuff as Amy just said, but also along with the research that you were doing to, like, have fun on your trip, you might want to think of practical research as well. And think about the location that you're going to be staying in. Start locating where maybe some stores are around your area where you're staying. Maybe locate the hospitals and look up to see if there did happen to be something that happened, which hospital would you go to? Because around, you know, if you think about Disney, there's tons of choices. You want to maybe think of do some research on which one you know, God forbid something happens, you'd want to be at. So just kind of like the practicality research that can be done at any time.
Mm-hmm. Amy, Stacy, what about things like budgeting at this point? Are you thinking about like how you're going to eat, where the food's going to come from? Are you thinking about Instacart, vacation grocery delivery at Walt Disney World? Are we thinking about anything yet, or is it too early still at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We budget our meals. I usually have a running list of about how much each meal is going to cost us. And then if we have to make cuts at that point, we do, or substitutions. And I know, like with Garden Grocer, if you place it at least 60 days in advance, you get a bigger discount.
Okay. So,
we've done that occasionally as well as needed.
Okay. Now let's get a little closer to the trip. What's our next tip?
Okay, so what I would start to do is plan since we drive. A lot of times I start planning for what our entertainment is going to be in the car. Mm. A lot of times when it's just Scott and I, he obviously doesn't watch these things, but we have like something on Netflix that we watch together usually, and I'll watch it and he'll listen. And that can sometimes cut like a whole season out in, you know, on the trip to Florida. But we've also done audiobooks. And then I also do have a travel playlist. So if we want some music, it's, you know, I have the playlist ready to go. And when the kids are with us, they take turns. They most of the time now they just are all plugged into their headphones. But sometimes Ethan will like to just play his playlist for the whole car, and they can kind of take turns doing that kind of stuff. But I've always had dreams of traveling on a family road trip and doing like Harry Potter, or like finding a great audiobook for us all to listen to together. And that never works. Nobody ever wants to do that. But someday maybe they'll like.
I would do that with you, Stacy.
Oh, sounds good. Why don't we just go to your house and we can just listen to an audiobook?
That sounds good. I also, about the 2 month to 6 week mark before, if I'm going to be going through any cities, if I'm driving or while I'm at the location and I know anybody that is there or along the way, make contact with them and see if we can meet up for dinner or a meal or something like that.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's a good idea.
With our circle of friends, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. along the way. So pending where you're stopping at or the time you start. Question for the drivers. I know Stacy really is largely the driver, but Amy, I know you have as well too. Do you have a specific time that you target to start driving? And then in your mind, how far you get to at least approximately that night?
Yes.
Or is it just on the day, or like you guys, okay, well, we feel pretty good. We got all of our stuff put in. Or how do you determine that?
We usually make a plan to leave in the morning, and then 99.9% of the time, a few days before we leave, we're like, man, let's just go after work. We'll leave early. So we almost always will leave in the afternoon after work in school, whatever is happening at that time. And we try to go as far as we can. Usually it ends up being Bowling Green, Kentucky from Chicago. And so that's kind of nice after doing this so many times. We know what our limit is, and it's easier to book a hotel. So that's helpful. But for somebody who doesn't do this all the time, it really is a good idea to just plan those routes out, see how long, because you never know what's going to happen with traffic and construction mm-hmm. or an accident along the way. Driving is good for saving money, but sometimes logistically it can be very tough.
And that's what I was going to say, too. Depending on where we're going, we'd like to try and avoid rush hour mm-hmm. As much as possible. So if we were traveling down to Florida, we'd want to avoid rush hour in Atlanta. Or, you know, going north, we want to avoid it going through Chicago. So that's a big one for us. We try and plan ahead as much as possible. I know you can't always, but with construction, you know, we'd like to pad those times even a little bit more.
Makes sense. Okay. So we're approximately 30 days to 45 days out. What are some other things on our list?
make reservations for your dining if possible. Okay. Especially, you know, if they're more high-end places or sought-after places.
Okay. There are people that go on vacation specifically for Walt Disney World restaurants. That's what they're going there for. They want to go there and eat at some of the locations they've not eaten at before. And Amy, how far, I mean, what would be the toughest reservation? Let's just throw it out there. What's the toughest reservation to obtain at Walt Disney World? Would you think?
Topolino's has been.
Okay.
The hardest.
And is that a full 60 days out? Is that where you're recommending that?
Oh, yeah. Ones like that, California Grill, those, if you don't, you know, Chef Mickey's even a little bit, but if you don't get those at 60 days out, there's not much of a prayer. Artist Point with the Snow White meal, that one's also a hot one. If you don't get that one 60 days out, it's the Space 220 Lounge, another one. Yeah, I would go for those big ones 60 days out and then, you know, kind of plan your days and pick up a few others as you go. But get those 60 days out for sure.
And we've learned all this because we've done our research like at least 5-6 months in advance. So we know the timetable coming up here.
Right.
Now, can I give you a contrarian opinion based upon my travel style?
Yep.
So I like to eat at Walt Disney World, but it's not the purpose of my visit there. Okay. And I've always enjoyed the game of seeing where I can pick up that last minute reservation, because you'll find that if you check your My Disney Experience app, right, you put your family of 5 or the Diamonds are 6 at 7 o'clock, like you get 3 options, boom, boom, boom. And you're like, no, I don't really want any of those. But if you come back an hour later, you might get 5 options. You might get something that just popped because someone cancels. Uh-huh. So there's always been a cool like scavenger hunt. What can I grab at the last moment that's really cool and valuable? I grabbed a really unique beach club opportunity like a day in advance, and that doesn't exist. So I've always enjoyed that. But if your wife, if your kids, if you have a special occasion or your heart set, yeah, make that baby as far in advance as possible.
Absolutely.
Okay, Stacey, what are you doing 30 days or 45 days out?
So with driving, also consider getting your car checked out. So we'll often go and do like the oil change and stuff like that. Or if there's anything going on that might be a little bit iffy with the car, it's a good time just to take it into the mechanic just to get a complete check over. One of our cars is leaking oil. We don't know which one it is. So we're trying to figure out. It's like there's a, it's in the driveway. Like we see it. They both park in that area. So before we go down for marathon weekend, we'll have the red car, our main car, looked over just to make sure that it's nothing's going on with it. So.
Yeah. And let me chime in here, guys. Again, Chris, just shut your mouth. No, seriously, there's nothing more frustrating and there's nothing more like scary than having the check engine light pop in the middle of Tennessee at about 1 in the morning. And you know, you're just out and it's like, this is a really bad position to put myself in, you know? So I used to have a really good friend at work and he said, if it's predictable, it's preventable. And I've always remembered that phrase, that if it's predictable, it's preventable. So when you're talking like a car, oh my good heavens, anything could happen. And it might not even be your fault. You can get a rock that pops and shatters the windshield, like big old dumb Chris has had on the expressway before. And that's not even my fault, but now I've got to deal with it. So
exactly.
So, okay. 30 days out. What are we doing now? Stace, Amy.
I'm making a packing list. I know a lot of people don't make packing lists, but I'm at least checking a packing list that I already have made. Because now is the time that it's not rush time yet. But if you happen to be going to Target or searching on Amazon for something else and you know that you need toothpaste for your trip, it's nice to casually pick things up for a trip and not have to run out the night before and be stressed about all that last minute stuff. So if you have your packing list ready, you can just start kind of looking at it and slowly purchasing items that you might need.
I don't usually get serious with the packing list till about 2 weeks before, but in the back of my head, I'm, you know, thinking about the neck fans. Do they have batteries?
Yes.
Do we still have enough cooling towels? You know, those kind of extra things that you don't think about on a daily basis, but want to make sure that you know where they're at when it comes time for crunch time.
Okay. Now we're inside of 30 days. What are we knocking out here? We're getting closer. We're like 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, besides the packing list and whatnot. What are we thinking of now?
Oh, and I should have said about a month before, also letting work know if you're taking time off. Mm.
That's a very good one.
Or more.
Hopefully we got it approved, right? At this point.
Right. Okay. So, double check those reservations, make sure that nothing got canceled, because especially with Disney, we know the IT system is so great, and we want to double check and make sure nothing got accidentally canceled. Make sure that we got the right amount of people, because that has happened before where I've accidentally made a reservation and forgot to include somebody. And double check those plane reservations, because about 3 weeks or so beforehand, that's when they tend to make their changes. So they may bump you to another flight. They may, you know, cancel. I've had that happen too, where about 2 weeks before they say, oh, never mind, you're going to be leaving at this time instead. So that's always good to check. Check, start looking, making sure there's not going to be huge inclement weather, possibly.
Good one.
Because especially hurricanes, they can predict that far out of the possibility.
Mm-hmm. Stace, what about you?
All of the rest of mine are really right before you leave. So if Amy has any other ones in this time frame, she can go ahead.
No, that's pretty much it too. So
now I can chime in off of yours, yeah. Amy. At this point, you know, depending on who you use, if you're flying specifically, I use a flight aggregate. So I book a lot of my air travel through Expedia, though it doesn't include Southwest. I'll check Southwest individually. But after you've booked your flight, make sure whoever you're flying on, download their app, because United and American, they offer free in-flight movies, but it only is used through their app. Things like Spirit and Frontier, they probably won't. But oftentimes, these places now don't take cash on board. And if you need a drink, which there are people that go on board airplanes and it's like they're a basket case, we understand that. You need to go and download their app to go and make sure you have your credit card loaded on the profile so you can purchase beverages. They oftentimes have a quick kiosk, you know, and a Clover card reader. But make sure you download their app and sign up for the rewards program. At this point, several weeks in advance, do not do it on the tarmac because you won't get Wi-Fi service. So you're on your cellular network and on the tarmac, the signals are going across the world and like connectivity is just awful. It's just awful. And if you're trying to download an app at that point, it may not happen in time. And then you'll have to go and hit airplane mode and that's it. You're done. You're out of luck. So figure out who you're flying with and book that up about this time.
Yes.
Okay, right before our trip, what are we doing?
Okay, so if you're going to stop your mail service, that's a good time to do it. There are several ways depending on the city that you live in. I know that it can be done online, but we have found that in our city, they tend to be a little more difficult and they want you to come down to the post office and fill it out yourself. But most of the time in larger cities, you can just fill it out online and then it can be done for the time that you're gone. And then in our town, they want you to come and pick it up when your time is up as well. They don't want you to, just say, okay, we're back, deliver it all.
Amy, why would you stop your mail service? What's the reason that a person would stop mail service for a week's trip to Walt Disney World?
Well, I might be getting a check in the mail and I don't necessarily want some, you know, our cul-de-sac area, especially, the wind tends to grab the mail, the front of the mailbox, and just flip it down. Okay. And I don't want my mail flying all over the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Plus, if people see that your letters are stacking up, they're going to say, oh, they're not home. Now's a good time to go investigate their house and see what they've got.
Yeah. Great point. Stace, what about right before the trip? What are we doing?
I am cleaning, and this is one of the things that I have not done occasionally in the past because it's just last minute stuff take over. But it's so nice to know that you're coming home to a clean house. It just takes so much pressure and stress off of you, knowing that when you bring all of your suitcases and stuff in, that you're not adding to a bigger mess that's already happening. And then with that, I love to change my sheets right before we go so that I'm coming home to a clean bed. And because oftentimes we're getting home later in the afternoon or in the evening, and it's just so nice to like just have one thing that you can really look forward to after a trip, getting into your own bed, and it's so nice and clean. So
we tend to also, if it's going to be a longer trip, cleaning out the freezer.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Making sure that we've eaten up a lot of the stuff that we've got stored up. So, you know, in case the power goes out or whatever, we don't have to deal with that as much.
Gotcha. All right. How far out are we right now considering the trip? Are we about a week out, maybe 3 days, 5 days?
Probably within the week. A change of sheets right before we go, but like probably a couple of days before we leave, I'd start straightening up and things like that. So
The suitcases out, make sure that we've got enough for everybody, that the suitcases are still in good enough shape. We've run into that in the past where we've gotten them out and then realized that they've gotten wrecked with transportation and had to, we need another suitcase. So we've realized that as well.
Cindy Ellicott in a direct message string said at one point, just recently, that it almost seems like suitcases and luggage are just made for one-time use now, almost no matter which one you buy. And though you might get a few on like with a Samsonite piece or an American Tourister piece, she's right. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's the baggage handlers or just the process, but if you bought really nice luggage, it's going to get beaten a snot. I guarantee it. When it comes off that conveyor belt, you pick it up, you're going to be like, what happened to this thing? You'll have zippers busted. You'll have a lot of damage to your suitcase. And that's just the reality of traveling in air travel right now. So I would even say go back like 4 months and 5 months and even a year. If you're at Costco or Target and you happen to look at those end caps like I always do, and you're looking for things on clearance like I always do, and you see a god-awful pattern and suitcase, that's okay because it's not going to last that long. And if you find a really good deal on luggage, Black Friday sale, Christmas sale, buy that luggage, even if you already have a completely good set of luggage, because it won't stay that way. Luggage is meant to be destroyed. And that's the reality of travel right now, is luggage is going to get destroyed. So don't be afraid to shop.
Absolutely. And also check and make sure that everybody has their carry-on bags, ready, as in empty, ready to be packed. I know, teenagers, they're so fun. Kaden, we were like, okay, get your carry-on ready. And he had his swimsuit in there for like way too long.
Nice.
He got a new bag and new swimsuit. that's a good time to just kind of check and make sure that they're not only ready to go, that they know what they're going to be, but they're actually empty and ready to be packed.
Well, let's even take that further. Know your baggage allowance on your airplane. What you're allowed to carry on or what you're willing to pay for on an airplane. In a car, know the size that you've got to work with, because in our basement, we've got monster size suitcases. We've got carry on size suitcases. We've got backpacks. Each trip requires something different. And by the way, Spirit says, oh, it's a little too big. I'm sorry. That's $50 a bag per person per, each direction. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. Realize Southwest offers you a carry-on and a check bag, and whatnot. So know what you're getting into and then plan your next steps accordingly based upon each carrier.
We also have one of those suitcase weighers that you put on the end and you hold it and it'll weigh how much your bag is. That's come in quite handy. Because depending on the season that you're going, if you've got some heavier clothing like sweaters and sweatshirts, may need to divvy that up in the suitcases a little bit more instead of just keeping it in your own.
Let's go to the car. Stacy, how do you guys pack the minivan? Is it suitcase? Is it bins? Or is it squishy bags and you just, what do you do?
We do the suitcase. This is all in the back. the main mm-hmm. stuff. So we do the suitcases and then we fill in between the suitcases with squishy bags. And now that the kids are older, it's so much easier because they're not wanting to bring every toy that they own for this car ride. But we also have them each bring a blanket, a pillow, and a backpack. And I mean, it's tough with this car. The car is packed. I mean, it is packed, especially when you start thinking about snacks and all that stuff that we start to load in. But it's just the way it is. We just kind of make it work. I don't think we've ever had to not bring something because we've overpacked. Scott is a master packer in the minivan, so that helps. But also not bringing a stroller is has been so nice. When we went to Tennessee, that was awesome. So.
We've all seen pictures of the Nyman car after a vacation and during a vacation.
Uh-huh.
It looks like you're going on the Oregon Trail.
But I know.
You need that. When you got six, you need to understand that.
Exactly. And
you're trying to accommodate every space for a bag between your feet and yes. a bag under the seat. And you're trying to accommodate everything. And I get that. So, yeah.
And I'm the worst with it too. I mean, I'm just as bad as the kids, like thinking about what might I want to do in the car. And, you know, I don't need that seventh novel for a 1 week trip, I probably could just deal with two, you know? So it's, exactly. Everybody has to kind of think through what they really need for the trip.
Gotcha. Let me help out with the driving part. Cause I'm a driver as well too. Understand your route and understand how you're going to get there as far as tolls. And if you need to go and obtain a sun pass for Florida, it might be too late at this point, mm-hmm. but you're going to need to have coins or small bills handy. Cause if you only carry 20s, 50s, 100s, as you go through a toll booth, realize in Florida, that's now almost all open roll tolling, which means you can't pay for it with cash anymore. And a lot of those tolls, you're going to have to go and pay for that afterwards,
right?
Based on your new license plate, your newly acquired license plate for a week. So it becomes difficult. So understand what route you're going to take there. You can actually hit the button on Google Maps, avoid toll roads, and it will plot you a course where you're not paying that fee. But I would look into that prior to this point.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, okay, we're a few days out. Amy, what do you got in your list still?
Okay, so double check on house sitter. Make sure dog reservations are taken care of. Make sure or start packing. Start putting things aside that you know that you're going to need. Double check prescriptions. Make sure that they're ready to go as well. And I'm the obsessive one, so I double check my reservations yet again.
Okay. Stace, you're leaving the next day. What do you got?
I am making sure that we have something in the fridge for when we come home so that we're not having to order more takeout. So even if it's frozen pizza or pasta or there's something that we can plan. I know that's what we're going to have when we get back into the house.
There, I don't do that.
When my mother-in-law used to stay and watch our dogs when Lisa and I took the kids when they were young. And for a few vacations, she used to make a lasagna and leave it in our fridge for us. There was nothing better than coming home to a homemade lasagna that she just pop out of the fridge and put in the oven.
That's so sweet.
Oh, it was the best. The best. So, yeah, exactly. Okay, we're leaving tomorrow or this is the day of our trip. What do we got in our list now?
Set my alarm. And set a backup alarm and probably another backup alarm.
Okay.
Don't want to pull a Kevin McAllister's family.
No, exactly.
Exactly. Especially when airfare is coming on and you have to board that plane and go through TSA and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. We also double check to make sure that Tim has packed his CPAP machine because after forgetting it twice, we don't want to go through that again. That is number one priority. Do we have the CPAP? Okay. Everything else we can get.
Let's explore that. All right. You're on vacation. You forgot your CPAP machine. What do you do? What's the remedy? Hope you don't suffocate? What's the fix for that, Amy? I mean,
it hasn't gone well. One night he tried to sleep through the night without it. It did not go well. Mm. On one time, another time we left it at Disney. Baggage services had it. Luckily, we realized in time. I got on the phone. We got a hold of the resort. And also, once we got to the airport, somebody from back when they had Magical Express was able to contact the resort, and they actually brought it to us at the airport.
That's nice.
Before we actually had to board. It was amazing. I don't know. They would ship it, but it would still take 2 days to get there. And what? So that's one of those too bad, don't forget me kind of moments.
I want to be abrasive. What happened when Tim tried to sleep through the night? How did he fix that? I mean, that seems like a really serious question to ask.
He didn't sleep, and neither did any of us.
Ugh.
The snoring was so bad. It was not a good time. You know, other medical equipment you can rent in dealing with my dad. I found that out. You can, he needed oxygen for his CPAP. And you can rent that down at Disney World, and I'm sure other places you can rent, but a whole CPAP machine, that's personalized to you. You can't just say, hey, I forgot mine, bring me one.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm sure Tim was very calm and rational that very next day, as well was the rest of the family. I'm sure you guys were all ready to go and chipper, right? At that
point. Yeah. It was great.
That was the great near divorce for the Van Swole family on that one trip alone. So, all right, Stacey, you're leaving in a few hours. What else?
Yeah, we're taking out the garbage. We are making sure that we go around to every kid's room. All garbage is out of the rooms. Dirty dishes are put in the dishwasher. The dishwasher is started. Cat litter is cleaned and fresh for the week. So basically anything that can cause stinky mess, we are walking around the house to make sure that that's all out of the house. Potatoes that might go bad while you're gone, like look for those things.
Those are the worst too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But bananas on the counter, they yes, gotta go. Exactly. But they gotta get frozen.
Fruit
right?
Flies will be all over the place. Right. So look for that kind of stuff. Any perishables or filthy children with, you know, plates full of food under their beds. So,
okay. What else? What else? We're leaving still. What else you got?
Make sure that your carry-on bag does not have anything in it that it shouldn't. Just double check. Make sure you don't have any liquids in there or scissors or anything like that. I always like to double check. And make sure that you've got your license with you.
Oh.
Especially if you transferred bags to get...
Yeah.
Go to the airport, make sure you have your wallet, your license.
I have one more thing on my list, and that is just something that we like to do personally is have some lights on a timer. Living in Chicago, it's always good to just kind of make it seem like there's people around and in the house. So just a couple of our lights in the living room, just have it on a timer so they go on and off. Throughout the, you know, in the afternoon / evening time.
We have a Ring doorbell and a motion sensor light. My parents found out the hard way. They just got back from a month-long vacation. And they found out the hard way when they were unplugging everything, knowing they were going to be gone for so long. When they were unplugging everything, they unplugged the Wi-Fi and their Ring doorbell did not work.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So don't do that.
That's a good tip.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't hurt to unplug some things just in case. And the same thing, just going around, making sure that nothing's hanging out there that needs to be finished, making sure you've got your keys, making sure you've got everything you need and that handy dandy CPAP machine bag.
Exactly. I'm envisioning Stacey's house, like having Michael Jordan on the stick on the train, like the McAllister's house as it dances around the front window. And like, look, there's a party at the Nyman's house. All right.
I wasn't invited.
Nice. Very nice. Through through a lot of trial and error, I've also found out you have to tell some trusted people you're going on vacation, because you may need them at a last moment to check on the house. Or while you're gone, all of a sudden Chicago got 4.5 inches of rain in a 2-hour period, and you're not quite sure the condition of your basement. But if no one knows you're gone, no one's even going to consider that as an option. If it snows, now, I mean, this is not a good thing, but you may need someone to go over there and say, hey, I need to pull into my driveway. I know we got 19 inches of snow. Can you at least help shovel that one spot? I'd be more than happy to pay you. So someone has to know you're gone. And if you're driving, like Stacy and Scott, they got to keep up to date with somebody or let someone at least know where they're at and follow them. A lot of things can happen on the road. There's a lot of things and a lot of problems that can develop. 99 times out of 100, it's not going to. But that one time, you'll be so grateful that someone knows that you're in Dalton, Georgia, or you're in Warner Robins, or you're in Lake City, Florida, and that you're on the way or where you're located. That helps, because you need that additional support. I mean, it's a vulnerable experience. You're taking everything you have and all the things that are important, and you're putting it on four wheels, and you're driving it down, 1,300 miles.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything that we haven't covered? Look on your list, guys. Anything that we can help people with at this point? No, we're good?
I'm good.
I think so. Okay. So if you got a tip that we haven't talked about today, and I bet there is, let us know. Join us on EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T, or the Dubs page, or Instagram, or even we still have a Twitter that we check occasionally, once in a great while. But really, you're going to find us mostly on EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T, and Facebook. That's our listener and friend group. So we hope you enjoy these tips. We hope you benefited, and share with us if we didn't. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.